Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. From Mayor Abraham Beame of New York this morning came a jubilant announcement.
I'm very pleased to announce that the people of the city of New York can rest easy this morning because of the fact that the police have captured a man whom they believe to be the son of Sam.
Mayor Beame spoke those words a short while after police reported the arrest of David Berkowitz on suspicion of being the killer who fatally shot six young people and wounded seven in little more than a year. Steve Young reports how the suspect was taken into custody.
Police say 24-year-old David Berkowitz's 1971 Ford car was the key to his capture. They began checking cars ticketed near the Brooklyn site of the last Son of Sam murder. One such ticket for illegal parking at a hydrant led to Berkowitz, a Postal Service employee who lives in Yonkers to the north of New York. Police reported early this morning that when they arrested Berkowitz last night, he did not resist, acted as if resigned to his fate, and they quote him as saying, "Okay, you got me." A few hours ago, ballistics tests came in. Conclusive proof that the .44 caliber Bulldog revolver found in Berkowitz's car was the gun used to kill Stacy Moskowitz, the Son of Sam's most recent victim. Berkowitz's mother is dead. His father, now retired, lives in Miami. When the suspect was brought to police headquarters, he smiled thinly. He was advised of his rights, but reportedly chose to talk to police without first obtaining a lawyer. His arrest apparently ends one of the greatest manhunts ever conducted by New York City police. Steve Young, CBS News, New York.
The mother of Stacy Moskowitz talked early this morning with CBS News correspondent Jerry Landay.
Mrs. Nisa Moskowitz sat in her living room and exulted. The mother, who is still in mourning for her daughter, described herself as walking on air. Mrs. Moskowitz said she hopes the parents of the other victims feel as she does. She noted that in a very real sense, it was her daughter's murder that mobilized the city and led to the suspect's arrest. She said that her daughter's senseless death had undermined her faith in human nature and prompted her to want to leave New York. But all that's now changed. As for the suspect, Mrs. Moskowitz said, "I just want to see his face, and I want him to see mine." Jerry Landay, CBS News, New York.
Berkowitz was booked this morning on a second-degree murder charge and three related charges, all in connection with the fatal shooting of Stacy Moskowitz. Secretary of State Vance today, in the final stage of his Middle East journey, has been making a fast swing through three Arab nations, Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, to brief their leaders on his talks with Israeli officials in Jerusalem. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb reports from Washington that, according to U.S. officials, Arab leaders now appear ready to sign peace treaties with Israel at the conclusion of a successful Geneva peace conference.
This word was transmitted to Prime Minister Begin by Secretary of State Vance, and it cheered the Israeli leader sufficiently that he called it a great achievement. But Arab sources are quick to add that the signing of a peace treaty does not necessarily mean the immediate establishment of diplomatic relations. A peace treaty simply ends the state of war. Aside from this achievement, U.S. officials cannot point to any other resulting from this trip. The road to Geneva still appears to be blocked by a Palestinian refusal to recognize Israel and an Israeli refusal to deal with the Palestine Liberation Organization. So the effort is being made to convey an impression of diplomatic momentum by highlighting Secretary Vance's meetings next month at the United Nations with Arab and Israeli diplomats, forgetting for the moment that he would be meeting with them and others in any case. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
President Carter got back to the White House last night from a brief vacation in Plains, Georgia. And one of the first things to command his attention today is a new accord on the future of the Panama Canal. We'll hear about it from David Dow in Panama City.
U.S. negotiators Ellsworth Bunker and Saul Linowitz are returning to Washington today to present President Carter with a gift he has wanted since before his inauguration. Agreement, in principle at least, on a new Panama Canal treaty. The big question after lawyers draft the agreement into formal treaty language is whether it will ever actually govern conduct between the U.S. and Panama. The answer lies with the U.S. Senate, whose willingness to ratify any treaty relinquishing U.S. control of the Panama Canal continues to be uncertain. Panamanians would gain that control, but only at the end of the century. A joint commission with a U.S. majority would rule things until then. However, Panama did not win all it wanted either. There'll be a U.S. military presence in the zone till the year 2000, and the economic settlement is far less than Panama demanded 2 weeks ago. Leaders of both sides face a selling job on several points, and the outcome in many minds could have a bigger impact on U.S.-Latin American relations than any other of recent times. David Dow, CBS News, Panama City.
By decree of strongman Omar Torrijos, this is a national holiday in Panama. Torrijos says the agreement in principle on a new canal treaty signifies the recovery of Panamanian sovereignty over all its territory. The White House hopes to have the treaty drafted by the time Congress returns next month from its summer recess. After that, according to White House News Secretary Jody Powell, Mr. Carter wants to go over it word for word, line by line, and he wants the National Security Council and the Cabinet to go over it also. The Labor Department this morning reported that wholesale prices fell 0.1% in July. They also declined in June. This was the first time in 2.5 years that there have been consecutive monthly declines. Lower food costs get the credit. The American Bar Association has drawn up a new code to guide lawyers in advertising their services. From Chicago, Fred Graham tells us about it.
Your friendly neighborhood lawyer probably won't be advertising his services on television, it seems, at least not anytime soon. This is a result of new ethical rules adopted last evening by the House of Delegates of the American Bar Association. The rules will allow lawyers to advertise certain facts about themselves, their practices, and their fees in newspapers and on the radio, but not on television until the Bar Association has time to give that sensitive matter a lot more study. The ABA felt that TV advertising had too much potential for abuse. The ABA's rules serve only as a model for state bar associations and state supreme courts, but most of them are expected to quickly adopt the new rules, which lawyers will then have to observe or face the possibility of disbarment. Fred Graham, CBS News, Chicago.
Firefighters have gone back to work in Dayton, Ohio, after a 3-day strike for higher wages and a shorter work week. The settlement was announced last night by Mayor James McGee.
The firefighters' strike is over, and firemen will be back at work immediately. The settlement costs were within the dollar amounts originally authorized by the commission, based on the resources available. It is a great relief to have restored to our citizens the safety and security of life and property that have a right to, that they have a right to expect from their fire department.
What Mayor McGee had in mind there was the fact that while the firemen were on strike, they fought no fires, and flames destroyed between 20 and 30 buildings in Dayton during the walkout. City Manager James Alloway says it will take a long time for the wounds of the strike to heal. Queen Elizabeth this morning went ahead with her scheduled appearances in Northern Ireland in the face of threats from the provisional wing of the Irish Republican Army. Mike Lee reports from Belfast.
The Queen this morning helicoptered from her carefully guarded yacht to the nearby ultra-modern University of Ulster in the far north of Northern Ireland. Even before the helicopter set down, the provisional IRA issued a warning that it had penetrated the British Army's security net and planted a bomb inside the university grounds. The Queen paid no attention and continued to go about the business of inspecting academic projects and dedicating buildings. Another building far away was not so lucky. A gas station in Belfast was gutted by a firebomb this morning. But overall, it's been a relatively quiet and normal day in the city. This following a night of scattered rock throwing, sniping, and the wounding of a British Army major. The Queen will sail back to London tonight, 7,000 of her 1.5 million subjects here having seen her in person. The rest, for security reasons, having seen her only on television. Mike Lee, CBS News, Belfast.
Spanish police report that thieves have stolen religious objects and jewels that could be worth as much as $59 million from the Roman Catholic Cathedral in Oviedo. It may have been the largest art theft in history. Among the stolen objects were items that the bishop says are priceless. The robbery came only a few days after a newspaper story complained about lack of security at the cathedral.